Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
I don't know you, but I want you all the more for that. And words fall through me, can always fool me, and I can't react.
2 days ago, the nominations for the 2012 Tony Awards were announced, and the new musical Once led the nominations, earning 11, including Best Musical, Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role in a Musical for Steve Kazee, and Best Performance by Actress in a Leading Role in a Musical for Kristen Milioti. Once is based on the 2006 movie of the same name. It's about an Irish vacuum repairman called Only, Guy, and a Czech immigrant, also nameless, just credited as Girl, who meet and develop a very special relationship based on their shared adoration of music. Once features a book by award-winning Irish playwright and screenwriter Enda Walsh, the Academy-winning music and lyrics of Glenn Hansard and Marketa Irglova, and is directed by acclaimed Scottish director John Tiffany. Kristen Milioti plays the girl, and this is her third Broadway show and her first musical. Kristen made a memorable guest appearance in the fifth season of the NBC series 30 Rock as Abby Flynn, a female writer hired by Tina Fey's character because of concerns that the show within a show, TGS, hates women. Here's a clip.
This is my real voice, and the whole sexy baby thing isn't an act. I'm a very sexy baby. I can't help it if men are attracted to me. Like that homeless guy. He likes what he sees.
Okay, that could be for me.
It's not. It's for her.
I spoke with Kristen Milioti a couple of weeks ago about that spot on 30 Rock, her work in the upcoming film Sleepwalk With Me, and of course, Once. We spoke before her Tony nomination was announced, which is why we don't mention it. Kristen Milioti, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. How did you become a part of the company of Once?
It dates back to a while ago. I did a reading of it in February of last year as a different role, and because I can't sight read, I can't play piano, it takes me a long, long time to learn something. So I played a different role in the workshop, and then when it was done, I just figured they would go their separate way, and I wouldn't hear from them again. And you know, I thought it was a lovely show. And a couple days later, my agent called saying that the director wanted to see me for The Girl, and I went through a series of auditions again, mostly due to the fact of my piano playing not being up to par. And so they gave me 10 days to learn The Hill and a classical piece, and I've never played anything with, you know, each hand doing a different thing on the piano ever. I've just been like C chord, D chord, G chord. Mm-hmm. And so then I made the cut, and we went to Cambridge, and that was sort of like an extended, I think, audition. And then, you know, they decided to keep me, so I was thrilled. So that's how it started. It was sort of all like kismet.
That's amazing. I definitely assumed, which I know one shouldn't do, but assumed that you played the piano, and that's part of why you'd been cast. So that's amazing that they wanted you so much for the acting part that they were willing to let you learn to do that.
Yeah, I mean, our music director, Martin Lowe, who is the entire creative team are geniuses, but he's really an incredible artist. He was really tough. He was like, she needs to be able to play everything or else, right. Basically. And I had a private lesson with him as part of the audition process where he was like, she can't do it. And then John asked for that 10 days, and I had a friend sit with me, and you know, and I can only play those like four or five songs, that's it. But once I like broke through and figured it out, it was great.
Walking up the hill tonight when you have closed your eyes, I wish I didn't have to those mistakes and be wise. Please try to be patient and know that I'm still learning. I'm sorry that you have to see the strength inside reburning.
And you also have to do a Czech accent for the show. Who do you work with on that? How do you get that up to snuff?
You know, I've been really lucky. Most of the work I've done has been with dialects and accents, and it for whatever reason, I find them to be not easy, but they just sort of like come naturally or something. I don't know why. They remind me of music because it's all about the melody of how someone speaks. But we worked with a dialect coach in Cambridge, but the most helpful was a student that was there. He was 18, he was from the Czech Republic, and he had just come to Harvard. And he'd learned English through like American television and CDs, and it was really interesting to talk to him. We only got to talk to him for like 2 hours, but just that 2 hours was enough to sort of color it. And then when I came to New York Theatre Workshop, we worked with Stephen Gabus, and what he helped me with was coloring it with more of an Irish dialect.
Were Marketa Yerglova and Glenn Hansard involved in this production at all?
Yeah. Glenn came to Cambridge and saw a performance and just jammed with us till like 4 a.m. It was awesome. Yeah. And I didn't meet Marketa until the day before we went into tech at New York Theatre Workshop. Glenn had come into some rehearsals and listened to us play and had just given us suggestions. It was never heavy-handed. It was, you know, sort of peripheral. And she came and saw a run-through, and same thing. She never gave any notes. It was just all, like, supportive and lovely and just sort of like, take this and go with it.
Had you seen the movie before learning of this project?
I have still not seen the movie. I've never seen it. It was sort of a happy accident that when I got the job, I'd never seen it. And then once I did, I was like, well, Now I'm not going to watch it.
No, you can't end up doing an impression accidentally.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was afraid of, was like an accidental impression, just maybe sort of like subconsciously mimicking something.
You are in a movie that is not out yet, but I'm very excited about, that did great at Sundance, or in Sleepwalk With Me, Mike Birbiglia's movie.
Yep.
How did you get that role?
That I just auditioned for, and Mike and I hit it off, and Seth, his co-director, and I just hit it off. Mike Birbiglia is the best. He's just the best. He's such a nice guy. He's hilarious. He's so good in this film. I think it's an amazing film. Carol Kane is in it, who I've like been obsessed with for a long time, and Marc Maron, and all these like awesome comedians and awesome actors. Loudon Wainwright is in it. But yeah, it was like it was awesome to work with him.
What is your role like in the movie?
I play his sister. And now, I never saw his show, so I think it's pretty much the same. But he has a sister who gets married, and he goes with his girlfriend Abby, and it begins to put the pressure on their relationship. And I think in the play, she might be older, but in the movie, I'm his younger sister, and that adds even more pressure. But there's like some great family scenes of all of us at like 3 a.m. in the kitchen, you know, like a little drunk, cleaning up after like a bridal party. And it's just, he's awesome.
I can't wait to see it.
It's such a good movie. Like I was sitting there, I can't watch myself in anything. I get very like upset. But I like really got lost in this movie watching it at Sundance. It's so good. It's just, I believe and I hope that this launches him into a different stratosphere. And he's already like, I think Mike Birbiglia is a huge deal, you know, but like that people see like just how talented he is, writing, directing, acting, everything.
Had you ever had an opportunity to go to Sundance before?
No.
That was my first time.
What was it like?
It was amazing to be there. Have you ever been?
I've not.
It's an interesting place. It's like a giant nightclub during the day. It's interesting. You don't get to see any movies because you have to be on like special lists, and you also have to be on special lists to like get into these events. So it's amazing to be there with everyone. It was mostly amazing just to hang out with the cast again. It's a weird place. It's like very corporate and just sort of a different planet. Very different from like New York theater.
Right. Yeah. Really, really schmoozy. Lots of deals and networking.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I read that you went to NYU, but really, really didn't like it, which I'd never heard. I mean, I've interviewed a fair number of actors, and a lot of them have gone to NYU, and I've never heard anybody say that they didn't like it, and I've never met anybody who left. So why do you? And I just think that's, I mean, it's great. Obviously, everybody has their own personal experience. Yeah. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind talking about what about it didn't work for you. Why did you have to get out?
You know, I don't come from a college-heavy family. My dad didn't go to college. My brother doesn't go to college. My mom is the only person who has a degree. And so college for me was more about, like, I knew I wanted to be in New York. And that was the only school I applied to. I didn't do any research whatsoever. They put me in the musical theater studio, which I was just not a good fit for. You know, my parents couldn't afford NYU, and so it was all student loans that I was taking out in my name. And even at 19, I was like, all right, so I've just laid down $47,000 for a place that I'm really not enjoying. And I kept feeling like, you know, and it works for some people. I went to the undergrad. It's a bigger classes. So our acting class had like 20 people in it. And, you know, you got to go once every 2 weeks. And I just was like, I'm not learning enough. I wanna learn. I wanna figure this out now. And this is going too slowly. And I think it was just because I was 19 and maybe like had the balls to be like, yeah, I'm gonna go. I don't need this. You know, like I think if I were in that position now, I'd be like, oh God, no, you have to stay. Right. You know, I just think it comes with that like sort of sassiness of that age. And but it's all worked out. But yeah, I never felt like it was for me. And I learned better from being thrown into the deep end, which isn't you know, always for everyone. And so I left. Right.
And we've talked about how you were in Once and a film. And I know that the acting for a camera and acting for an audience are very different sort of realms to exist in. Do you have a preference, one versus the other?
No. I really love them both. The fascinating thing about film and TV that I'm just continually perplexed by is the editing process, because your performance is edited and there's such a lack of control that can sometimes be extremely comforting, where you're just like, okay, well then I'm just going to exist. And I think that's what it's about, is that the camera just finds you existing. And theater is like that too. I believe that I, for 2.5 hours every night, I just exist as this other person, but you have more control. You drive it. Whereas with film, you do your job. And you just hope for the best, kind of. Yeah. But I love them both.
I know that you've, since it was such a hit, you've talked about it a lot already. But I also want to talk about your guest spot on 30 Rock.
Yeah.
How did you get that? And how much fun was it, I guess, is all I want to ask, is playing that role on 30 Rock.
It was the most fun ever. I mean, that's my favorite TV show. So I had watched it, you know, for years, and I just randomly got an audition for it, and I read the sides, and there's just sometimes you get like auditions where you're like, oh, I get this. Mm-hmm. And other times, like when I've gone in for like scientists and stuff for like TV shows, I have no idea what I'm saying, and it's always like, I guess I'll just do this then. But that I was like, no, I know what this is. I get this. And I studied all these interviews with Paris Hilton, because she's got that weird voice. And every time I've seen her on television, I'm like, no one speaks like that. That's impossible. That can't be your real voice. What do you sound like? And so when I saw that was like in the dialogue, I was like, oh, well, then I know, you know, exactly who I'm going to model it after. And that ended up changing as we worked on it. But I just walked in and I auditioned, and then Tina Fey was at my callback, and they didn't tell me. And I walked in and was just like, you know, like that's like, she's one of my heroes, you know, if not my biggest hero. And she was lovely to work with. And it was the most fun imaginable. It was terrifying. Sure. That first day we did a scene with everyone that actually ended up being cut, but it was with the entire cast, who are lovely. But it was three moving cameras, and you had to, one would follow each of us, and so you had to hit the right spot exactly and do everything in a certain amount of time. And I like screwed up take after take after take after take, and I knew that I was the one like screwing it up. And I just sort of like had to sit with myself and was like, if you don't get this next one right, you could be fired. So like, just get it right, no option. And I did. And then it was a blast. It was what I love doing most, like just creating a person. I think that's the most fun. And I can't believe that people keep allowing me to do that and paying me for it. It's like unreal.
Do you have a goal?
After 30 Rock, I put together an audition tape for SNL because I was like, this is what I want to do. I love this. And I did a bunch of films over the summer where I had played very broad characters in like wigs and voices, and it was all from 30 Rock. And I put together maybe one of the worst audition tapes they've ever, ever viewed. I'm sure it was burned immediately. It was terrible. But I don't know what I want exactly. I want everything. Okay. I want to do it all. So I think, like, I want to do more film and more television. I want to keep doing theater. I want to do more comedy. I want to write. I want to direct. This is my first musical, and I love it. And I would love to do another one. The goal is always to... I would love to own a house one day. And I'd love to have a guest room where my family can stay and where my friends can come. But for the most part, I'm driven by like a role. And I just want to keep having the opportunity to play amazing roles, because I feel like I've been blessed beyond what I could ever imagine with the people I've had a chance to play. And if that keeps going the way it goes, that would be great.
Kristen, thank you very much for fitting me into your schedule, and it's been a great pleasure to speak with you.
It's been wonderful to speak with you, too.
Kristen Milioti is the star of the Broadway musical Once, now running at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater in New York City. To learn more about the show, visit oncemusical.com.
Are you really here? Or am I dreaming? I can't tell dreams from truth, for it's been so long since I have seen you. I can hardly remember your face anymore. When I get really lonely and the distance causes only silence, I think of you smiling with pride in your eyes, a lover that sighs. If you want me, satisfy me. If you want me, satisfy me.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.